James chapter 5, verse 16, second half of the verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'd like to talk to you tonight briefly about prayer that avails much. That's what we do on Wednesday night, prayer meeting. We want to talk about prayer that avails much. I think it would go without saying, but it needs to be said, that prayer that avails much, first of all, involves prayer. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And we just live in a time now where there's a lot of time spent on tasks, on work, on projects, and not so much time spent on prayer. I grant you, we're task-oriented people. I am. I don't live by the list, not anymore, but I make lists because I want to make sure to get the things done, and I want to forget that something that needs to be done has to be done. And I find in my own life that days where I take the time early to pray and get those prayer requests before the Lord, it seems that things fall into place throughout the day. And when that time is not spent in prayer, it's just chasing all day trying to keep up with whatever. Have you ever experienced that? Yeah, it's a true thing. As Randy used to say, the devil doesn't have to make you bad. He just has to make you busy. Because that will keep us from praying. And I'll tell you, a Christian on his knees is something that presents a formidable opponent to the work the devil tries to do to stop what God wants us to do. That's why our knees and our shins are unprotected in the armor of God, praying always, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. When Pastor Keck was here a number of years ago, as he was 77 at the time, I'm 13 years younger than he is, and he and I were visiting in our den, and I said to him, Pastor Keck, if I'm still of good health and mind, and Jesus hasn't come, and I'm still pastoring at 77, what do I have to look forward to? He said, well, for one thing, it takes two of you to keep up with your medicine. Can't remember whether you took your pill or not, you know. The other thing he said is this: I find now that I get more done through prayer than I do through production. And oh, I'm telling you, you know, we have the mindset sometimes that prayer is not productive. That stuff we do with our hands is productive, and prayer is what you just do because you're supposed to. But the truth of the matter is, and Pastor DeMichael said this during the conference, that prayer, when we get to heaven, we're going to find that prayer was probably the most productive thing that we did with our time on earth. And I think there's a lot to that. Dr. Ruttman used to say, remind us of something that has been said: prayer is not the last extremity. Prayer is the first necessity. Do you go for it? You've got to pray. So if we're going to talk about prayer that avails much, I think it must be emphasized that for it to do anything, we have to pray. And we have to pray before the Lord and ask Him for the things that, you know, He's shown us in the Scripture and other people have requested and things that we need, He's told us to pray for. So first of all, prayer that avails much requires prayer. Secondly, prayer that avails much must be acceptable prayer. Acceptable prayer. Look back in your text there, and it says the effectual fervent prayer of what kind of man? A righteous man. A righteous man. You know, it's very important for us in our time of prayer to spend some time before the Lord and ask Him to search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's very important because the Bible says this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Proverbs chapter 3. I think it's very, very important for us to recognize God wants to hear from His people who have been obeying what He has to say, right? Who have been occupied with His requests. Proverbs also says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So the Lord wants us, you know, it's like this. It's like this. It's like the Lord could say, why should I answer your requests when you're not willing to do my requests? Well, that's very true. If He wants a clean vessel to present those requests, many of our requests, you're going to hear it tonight, many of our requests are intercessory prayers. And I'll often pray before I intercede for you or your requests or preachers or whatever, Lord, if there's anything going on in my life that is going to hinder my ability to reach your throne on behalf of these people for whom I'm praying, show me what it is, because I don't want anything, do you, to get in the way of this time of prayer together. So prayer, acceptable prayer, be clean to intercede. And then it's in the text, prayer that avails much must be effectual prayer. You see that? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It must be effectual prayer. What does that mean? Effectual prayer. Effectual prayer is prayer that is able to produce the desired effect. Okay? Prayer that is able to produce the desired effect. Well, for that to happen, obviously we need to pray according to His will, 1 John chapter 5. But you know, let me just say this about effectual prayer. Sometimes our prayers are too generic. Like this, Lord bless the preacher. Well, I appreciate if that's what you pray, I appreciate that is a whole lot better than Lord curse the preacher. So, you know, I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not going to discourage you from praying, but how would you know that you got your prayer answered? Well, what is it that the Lord is supposed to do? You know, if you say, Lord, fill the preacher with your Holy Spirit. Tonight when I'm in church, have him say something. Bring something to his mind while he's preaching the text that speaks directly to my need, that I may hear from you. All right, that's a very specific prayer. And you'll know when you leave here whether he answered that prayer or not, if he speaks to you, right? Have him speak to my neighbor. I've been trying to get my neighbor's attention on this. Maybe he can tell him. No, I'm just... when you're praying for the Lord and you ask for things that are very specific, the Lord knows what you're asking for. You know what you're asking for, and the Lord knows what you're asking for. He knows how to answer it. I mean, imagine you come into the kitchen and your wife says, honey, is there something I can do? Yeah, I'm hungry. Okay, this is going to require a conversation. What do you want? Well, I'm not sure. And you know how that goes. How about if you came in and said, honey, can you fix me a hamburger? She either will or she won't. And if she does, she has answered your request. And, you know, that's effectual. You let her know what you wanted and she provided. I think it's that kind of prayer. You know, much of our prayer, really, and I've said it before, but I want to repeat it again. Much of our time in prayer is simply worrying out loud in front of the Lord. And I'll tell you something, it's not a bad thing to get before the Lord when you're worried about something or when you're concerned about something and sort it out with God. You got to sort it out with somebody. Isn't it so nice to have the kind of relationship where the Lord, where you and He can sit down and you can get that off your chest? There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not effectual prayer. That's worrying out loud before the Lord. Effectual prayer, you get down to the business at hand. And you stay with it until God answers the prayer. Now, let me give you an example, and this is not to hold up myself as somebody who is able to get these things done. Several of you were praying for us while we were traveling to go to Boise for the conference. All right, I always like to travel a day ahead in case there are travel delays. Well, the conference was supposed to start on Thursday, but I got a conversation with Pastor DeMichael the week before we left, and he said, by the way, you're going to be here Wednesday night to preach, right? I said, well, I'll be there Wednesday night, Lord willing, and I will be ready to preach, but I just didn't have that on my schedule. Anyway, so we got to the airport for our 7:30 flight, and you know, if you remember Wednesday, what it looked like here, it was soup, and we didn't leave for an hour and a half, so we obviously missed our direct flight connection to Boise that was supposed to get us there at 1:42 in the afternoon. And any other alternatives, Phoenix, whatever, there was one available seat, and there were two of us flying, right? So we call, and the only thing available is to fly the next day on the direct flight that we missed. So we get there, we go to the gate, because the agent told me, at least go to the gate and see what's going on. And I get to the gate, and there's an agent still there. Our flight is gone, but she's still there. What happened? I told her what the situation was. I'm so sorry. Perhaps you can go to customer service, and customer service can help you arrange something. There's only one seat on the flight to Phoenix. I said, okay. I said, I'm really disappointed. I said, because I really wanted to be in Boise tonight. I'm supposed to be preaching there at 7 o'clock tonight. You're supposed to be preaching in Boise tonight at 7? Yes, ma'am. Oh, this is terrible. Then she got quiet. And I don't know, 30 seconds later, she said, well, I think she had an assignment at another gate. She said, try customer service, and I really hope they can help you. Whoa! Wait, just a minute. Oh, wait, there's another seat that opened up on the flight to Phoenix. You're booked all the way to Boise, and you'll get there by 5:30. And then this is what she looked at me, and she said, when you told me you're supposed to be in Boise tonight preaching at 7 o'clock, I prayed for you. Now, I have to be careful with time here, but you really need to know this story. Our flight is arriving at Phoenix on time. We get to the gate. Phoenix is a pretty good-sized airport, if any of you have been there. We're two terminals over. Our connecting flight, the boarding closes 13 minutes after our plane arrives at the gate. And we are on row 35 in the plane. There's only one more row, and then there's a bathroom. So I'm praying, Lord, get our flight to Phoenix early, and Lord, please help this flight attendant get us to the front of the plane before everybody else gets off. If you've ever flown, that's like impossible. Ann and I are not talking about this. Ann's praying also. She's praying that our flight to Boise will be delayed. So we get to Phoenix 10 minutes early at the gate, and the flight attendant, in the most courteous, sweetest, syrupy voice you've ever heard in your life, says, folks, we have 6 people on this flight that need to make the connection to Boise. It's very tight. There's 6 of them, and they're all sitting in the back of the plane, row 34 and 35 and 36. If you wouldn't mind just waiting 60 seconds to get out of your seat, as soon as that seatbelt light turns off, they're coming forward to the front of the plane. If you'll wait for them, I know they would really appreciate it. Nobody got up. We were at the front of the plane in front of first class. They popped that door open. Some guy says, cart service. We all jumped on down to the other side. He says, what gate are y'all going out of? B-20 or whatever it was, he goes, well, your plane's not even here yet. I'll check my little thing. It's late. every prayer got answered, and we even got to Boise with our bags. I was wearing the clothes I was going to preach in that night. We got to the hotel, hung my stuff up, put my tie on, went to the church and preached. We made it. Isn't that beautiful? You know what that is? That's effectual prayer. We asked for something specific, and the Lord answered the prayer. Okay, so you got to pray. If you don't pray, right, how can he answer that? Or it's got to be acceptable. I don't, you know. I would say we were clean. Neither one of us cussed. What do you do when you're stressed out in an airplane, right? We just, you go with it, and anyway. And then finally, let me just say, it needs to be fervent prayer. That's what he said, the effectual fervent prayer. When I think of fervent prayer, I want you to imagine something with me. How many of you have ever built a fire in a fireplace? Probably everybody here. I mean, some of you guys have probably never left South Texas. You didn't even know the fireplace was for fire. You thought it was for fake flowers. Actually, you could put a fire in there. Now, if you've ever had a fireplace where you put all that wood on there at night and it's all, you're by the fire and then you go to bed, you wake up in the morning, what do you got? You got a bunch of ash inside of that fireplace. And it looks like you're going to have to start all over again. But under all that ash, usually there is still a very hot coal. You can't feel the heat because it's under all that ash. You can't even see anything that resembles a fire. If you move that ash away and put some kindling on there and get the bellows and start putting a little air on there, that thing's going to heat up and eventually that kindling will catch fire and you put some small wood on there and no time at all, you got a roaring fire in what looked like a dead fireplace. That's what our prayer life is like. When we cool off and we haven't been praying for a while, it's just like a little ember. It's still there, but it's just a little ember underneath all that ash. You know what to do? Push that ash away, get the kindling on there, get the bellows blowing. In other words, stay with it a while. Let it heat up. Pretty soon what happens, it gets fervent. You come to church, you're on fire for God. All of a sudden, the hymns, the words seem to be popping off the page, and all of a sudden, you think you got the best preacher in the country. He hasn't changed, but your fervency has rekindled the relationship with the Lord. And what happens is you can't wait for somebody to ask you to pray because you're just so delighted to have another reason to come before the throne of grace and talk to God in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's be that way. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for a chance to be instructed out of the scripture on prayer that avails much. Help us to be that kind of person you have written about in James chapter 5. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.